Philip Glaser is also a poet, and he wrote this beautiful title, which I think is very evocative about the cycle of life and innocence and these circles that we draw, connections amongst different parts of our lives. And you can hear that in the music, especially in the third movement, which has a very circular nature, kind of ostinato that keeps on coming back, but subtly altering each time. And there is a feeling of optimism in the piece, which I think connects very much to the child.
The piece is in three movements, and it's based on a Bach chorale. Bach figures very prominently in your career. Was it your performances or recordings of Bach's music that helped inspire Philip Glaser to write this piece for you?
I wouldn't say that. I mean, Philip and I are very close friends, and we both love Bach, and I know that he really relates to the way that I play Bach, but it was his own idea to use this chorale as the basis of the concerto, and he often uses Bach in his writing. I have played a solo piece that he wrote, which is a set of 12 variations on a Bach chorale, which he didn't write for me, but I performed it many times and recorded it. So he naturally went to Bach for this piece. But I do think that even though it is based on Bach and you really feel that presence all throughout, it is a much more French piece of music than other works of his that I've played.
Since the late 19th century, color has been an essential element of French music. Is that true of Philip Glaser's piece, The Circle and the Child?
I really think so. Both in the piano writing, the figurations that are in it, but also the orchestration. It's really beautifully orchestrated, and he has an attention to tone and shading and the different timbres of every instrument that I find to be particularly French. It makes me think in particular of Debussy. I think that there's a relationship between this piece and the orchestration of the Prelude to the Afternoon of a Faun.
The other works on this recording are just fabulous piano war horses, if you will. Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue and Ravel's Piano Concerto in G. You have said that you feel Gershwin's Rhapsody is particularly present in Ravel's Piano Concerto. How so?
Well, I think in particular in the first movement, there are these moments of blues that are very similar to the blues parts of the Rhapsody in Blue. You'll hear that shortly after the opening of the piece, when the piano enters.
After the crack of the whip?
Yes, after the crack of the whip. When the piano starts to have its first solo, then the pianist introduces the blues. I think also some of the rhythm in it, in the third movement, is also similar to Gershwin. And I know that Ravel had gone to the United States the year before he composed the concerto. In 1928, he went on a concert tour of the U.S., and he met Gershwin in New York. And there's actually a wonderful photograph of them together with a whole group of people. And he heard the Rhapsody in Blue.
Thank you. What about the Rhapsody? There's been back and forth about the Paul Whiteman orchestration, the Ferdy Groffé orchestration. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, we used the Groffé orchestration in this recording, which I actually really like. I've performed that version where they've had to, for budgetary reasons, leave out certain instruments. But we have everything in this recording, including a great banjo. And I think the banjo plays a great role, and you really need to hear it. It's very hard to hear the banjo in concert unless you kind of place him right in the front, which I've tried doing.
So can we hear it on this one?
You can certainly hear it, and you're hearing a German banjo player, which is an unusual thing to hear.
I love it. You have taken a non-traditional path toward your career, foregoing competitions for the most part, and it's so heartening to see where you landed, choosing your own trajectory. And a lot of that had you performing in non-traditional venues. Are you still able to do that?
Yes, I do. I mean, at this point, I mainly do my extra concerts in schools. I like to go into classrooms and play for the students, and I've started my own kind of program that I call Bach Packing. I take a digital piano into classrooms, and that way I don't have to play in the auditorium. I can be up close to the kids and play Bach and talk to them about it and sort of introduce the idea of counterpoint to kids. I like to play for elementary school classrooms. I find that kids of that age are really open to hearing new music. But I have also played in various non-traditional places. In fact, not this past summer, but the summer before, when I was in Leipzig, I played at the psychiatric part of the prison. That was really interesting because I had met a doctor from there. He'd come to one of my concerts in Leipzig the year before, and he does a lot of music therapy with the inmates there. And so I wound up going playing a Bach concert for them, and that was really fabulous.
What sort of reaction did the patients have?
They were very respectful, very nice. It was funny because they didn't speak any English, and my German is terrible. And, you know, even the doctors really couldn't speak English that well. So I was trying to communicate, and I had a translator who I got the sense was kind of halfway translating what I was saying. And then at a certain point, I talked about my son, and I said that my son plays guitar in a rock band, and they all cheered, like they all understood that.
Well, we love hearing you, and thank you so much.
Thank you. It was great talking with you.